Okay, so like I mentioned, it's been a couple weeks, but let me just do a little bit of review in Genesis chapter 30. We actually left off at verse 24. So if you remember what happened, Jacob had gone to visit his uncle Laban in Padan Aram, and his intention was just to stay there for a little while until his brother cooled off. He was also supposed to get himself a wife and then return home. And so he goes there and he decides, okay, well, I'd like to marry Laban's younger daughter, Rachel. And he's just completely enamored with her. And they strike this bargain that, hey, I'll serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Well, after 7 years goes by, then they get married and he wakes up in the morning and it's the wrong daughter. It's Leah. And he's like, what did you do to me? He's like, well, Laban says, in our country, we don't give the younger before the firstborn. So you got to take the firstborn. And at this point, the deal's already pretty much done. Okay. But he says, if you want Rachel, you got to serve another 7 years. So then he gives him Rachel also. Suddenly Jacob has two wives, and now he's locked into another 7 year service deal. And one interesting thing that we're going to see is that all this stuff happens in chapter 30, the first part of chapter 30, and in the end of chapter 29 there, Jacob ends up with four wives and at least 12 children in a span of 7 years. That's a lot to happen in 7 years. But anyway, so he's got the situation where he's now married to these two sisters, which is a bad situation to be in because they're extremely jealous, which, you know, is a normal, natural thing if you're in that situation, because he's supposed to be your husband, and now you gotta share him with your sister. That's so weird. But anyway, we read through the first part of chapter 30. These two sisters are like competing with each other for his affection. As Rachel says in verse 8, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And we looked at that last time. Rachel, things weren't really working out for her in particular. Leah had lots of children, and she was the one that was not really the preferred wife, but the Lord also saw her affliction, and she blessed her with a lot of children. Rachel was kind of like on the back burner for a while, and I think it's because she wasn't looking to the Lord. We saw one thing that happened. There was this little deal with the mandrakes where she has this idea, well, let me try these mandrakes, which are supposed to be, you know, there could be something to it, but it seems like it's more of a superstitious kind of thing. She was looking to it as a like a fertility treatment. Maybe with the help of these mandrakes, I'll finally be able to conceive and bear some children and beat my sister. And after this happens, she does end up bearing a son in verse 23. So, well, the secret of childbearing then is in the mandrakes, right? No. No. The thing is, she finally called out to the Lord, and then he heard her, and he opened her womb, as it says in verse 22. I want you to remember that for the rest of this chapter, because that's going to come into play. I think it's the same principle that's going on here. Okay, so we got to verse 24. She bears the son. She now says, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And that's actually like a prophetic word that she is given, because she is, in fact, going to have one other son later on. and that would be Benjamin. So let's pick it up in verse 25. So after all this happens, it says, it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph. And this just gives you the timeline. Like I said, all this stuff happened within a span of 7 years. So he serves 7 years when he is unmarried. And then he gets his wife, and then he kind of accidentally ends up with two wives. And then he serves another 7 years being married. And during those 7 years, he ends up with all four wives and all 12 plus children. So it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, this is after those 14 years, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. So at this point, he's been serving Laban for 14 years. Again, he stayed 14 years longer than he planned. He planned to just go there for a little while. His mother said, yeah, stay there for a few days, you know, just a little while and get a wife and then come back. Well, he's there for 14 years. And at this point, he wants to go back to his family. And he's requesting a formal send-off. He said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban is fully aware that Jacob has served him very well and fully earned his wages. He's supposed to serve 7 years for each wife. He's now served 14 years. He served him very well. And Jacob's just saying, you know my service. It was good service. Okay? Something has really changed in Jacob over this time. And we're going to see more of that as we continue to read through this. Thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, and actually, before I go any further, let me just talk about this passage that I just read. So we see verse 27. Laban wants Jacob to stay a little bit longer, as long as possible, really. And this is what he says. If I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Here's the thing. As you continue to read about Laban, you start to have some questions about this guy's character. He's a very questionable character. He's kind of a shady guy. You might have noticed that already in the way that he kind of swindled Jacob out of the wife that he actually agreed with him for. But yeah, this Laban's not a very savory character. Now, what he says there, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. There's two possibilities. Either Laban is actually sincere in what he's saying, or he's just flattering with his lips. So one thing, let's go to Mark chapter 7. We're going to consider both of these possibilities. And frankly, neither one of them look good on Laban, whether he's sincere in what he's saying or he isn't. I'll explain why. Mark chapter 7. And this is a verse that's actually a few times in the Bible. Jesus mentions it twice. He's quoting from the book of Isaiah. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You may encounter people in your life who will say something about God or seem like with their mouth they're blessing God or acknowledging God, but guess what? That doesn't necessarily mean that their heart is with him. Okay? It's entirely possible that Laban is just being a total hypocrite here and flattering Jacob and saying, "God's blessed me because you've been here, so please stay." Laban wants Jacob to stay there. That's for sure. Does he really believe in this blessing of God? Is he really being sincere about that? I don't know. I'm just saying, he might just be flattering with his lips. But here's the other thing. If Laban is sincere in this and he's really giving credit to God, the God of Jacob, and he's saying, "This blessing really did come from the Lord, I know that," and he's really being sincere about that, here's the thing. You're going to find out in the next chapter. We're not going to get to it today, but you're going to find out in the next chapter. Laban has his own gods. And guess what? They're so impotent that they can't even help themselves. And here Laban is saying, "God has blessed me." He's actually a God that blesses, but I've got my own gods. That might be even worse. But anyway, we'll just continue to read on. Actually, I want to say one other thing about this. And that is Laban's motivation for wanting Jacob to stay. So he says, "I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Now, let me tell you something. As a Christian, I know what it's like to be blessed for someone else's sake. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 4. If you are a Christian, you know what it's like to be blessed for someone else's sake. Ephesians chapter 4 and we start in verse 31 actually. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I know what it's like to be blessed for someone else's sake because I've been forgiven of my sins for Christ's sake. It's because of him. It's because of what he did for me. The Bible says also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Without the redemption through his blood, I have no forgiveness of sins.
Right.
That's for his sake that God has forgiven me. Now, here's the thing. Jacob says, "I've learned by experience, God hath blessed me for thy sake." And so what's Laban's attitude toward Jacob? "Stay here so that I can get blessed by God through you. I want you to stay so that I can use you for that blessing, so that I can be blessed." But let me tell you something about the gospel. The gospel is not just God forgiving sins for Christ's sake. Here's another aspect of the gospel. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And he says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here's another aspect of the gospel, that God doesn't just want to forgive your sins and then leave you where you are. He wants you to come unto him by Christ. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. The gospel is about reconciling you to God. It's about you coming to God by Jesus Christ. Now here's the problem with Laban. God's blessing me through you, Jacob. His blessing is on you. So I want you to stay here so I can reap the benefit. Mm-hmm. What you don't see is Laban have any interest in seeking God for himself. And actually getting that blessing of God for himself and having God bless him because he's in a relationship with God. He's like, no. I'm just going to use you. Jacob, I want you to stick around so that I can get blessed out of this. And you can see where Laban's heart is at. He wants Jacob to stay so that he can use him. Okay, so verse 31. So Jacob agrees, but you can see what his concern is. He's like, I've served you and I've done a great job with your cattle. Your cattle has been blessed. And Jacob acknowledges the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. But now what's his concern? Now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? I've served 14 years and you know what I got out of it? I got four wives and 12 plus children. I've got this big household, but you know what? I've got nothing for them. I now have a large family, and I need to be able to provide for them. We need to be able to get our own life going here. Now, Jacob has the blessing of Isaac, and he's got some inheritance waiting for him when he finally does get back home. But for now, he's like, I've got this big family. And I've got nothing. I came here with nothing. I left all my inheritance behind. I came here with nothing. I've been here 14 years, and now I've got this family to provide for. How am I going to do that? So verse 31, Laban said, what shall I give thee? What do you want for wages this time? Jacob's answer is... He really gives the right kind of answer. Okay, so he says, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come from my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So this deal that they strike, and these are Jacob's terms. This is his proposal, okay? He says, I'm going to take all the speckled and spotted and the brown ones. I'm going to take them. Those are going to be mine. Okay, so I'm going to take them out of the flock today. Those will be mine. And as I continue to feed your flock and take care of your flock, all the ones that are born spotted and speckled and brown, those will be mine and the rest will be yours. Okay? And here's why he says that. Verse 33. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. What's he talking about? When it shall come for my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. That's why he's doing it. Because at this point, Jacob fully understands that Laban is a dishonest cheat and swindler. He's been taken advantage many times before. And He's saying, I want a way of showing that I'm the honest one here. And when it's time for us to part ways and people look at what I have, I want it to be very clear that nothing I have is stolen. Okay? He's not asking to be paid in silver. Why? Because how can you tell the difference between my silver and his silver? How do you know if I didn't, you know, take some or a little bit more than I should have, being kind of a steward over Laban's goods here? No. He's saying, you're going to know mine because they're speckled and spotted and brown. And if you see someone that one of these sheep or one of these cattle that's not speckled or spotted or brown, you're going to know it was stolen. So he's saying, my righteousness is going to answer for me when that time comes. You're going to know that I didn't steal a thing. I've been the honest one here. My dealings have been true and right. And you can see how Jacob's life has been changing over this time. Because Jacob used to not be such an honest fellow. He used to get by on trickery and deception. And then what happened during all this time is God is giving him a taste of his own medicine and showing him what it's like to be on the other end. And that happens to us sometimes. You know, we go through life and, you know, maybe an opportunity presents itself and we think, okay, well, if I just cheat a little bit here, if I just lie a little bit here, maybe I can get ahead. Maybe I could get something for myself. Maybe things will work out for me. And God says, you know what? That's not good because there's a principle. And what happens to the guy on the other side? You're doing him wrong. Okay? God gives Jacob a chance to see what it's like to be cheated and for wrong to be done to him. And it teaches him. And out of all this situation that happens, Jacob starts to become an honest man. And he starts to actually seek after the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord. And that's where it comes from. And he's becoming a righteous man. And he says, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. And here's the thing. Morning.
Morning.
Welcome. Here's the thing. If you are righteous, your righteousness will answer for you in time to come. As a matter of fact, whatever you do is going to have an effect in the future. Now, it could be like this. It could be like Jacob said, and he's realizing, you know what? If I do the right thing and I'm honest, eventually, that's going to play out to my advantage. On the other hand, you might also think, well, if I cheat, if I swindle, if I do the wrong thing, and that'll play out to my advantage too. Moses has a warning for you. He said to the children of Israel, be sure that your sin will find you out.
Yep.
See, it doesn't matter whether you do right or whether you do wrong. It's going to come around to you. And God is a just judge, and he's going to see that you get what you sowed. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yes, sir.
So Jacob has been converted in a sense already that he's decided, you know, I'm going to go about things the right way. I'm going to be honest in my dealings, and that's going to come around to me as well. So they make this deal, verse 34, and Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. It's just kind of like before when he agreed with Jacob, oh yeah, you'll get Rachel, and then after 7 years he gives him Leah. Well, he says here, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. I accept your deal, Jacob. So this day, you're going to remove all the brown and speckled and spotted cattle, and you're going to start with them. Okay, yeah, this is a great deal. Verse 35, and he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep. Oh, okay, so that's Jacob, you know, he takes all the brown and speckled and spotted, and no, that's what was supposed to happen. Jacob was supposed to take all the speckled, spotted, brown ones, and those were supposed to be his. No, ahead of when Jacob was supposed to do that, Laban took them all, and it says at the end of the verse, he gave them into the hands of his sons, and he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So you see what's happening here. Jacob is supposed to take all the spotted and speckled ones. That was his wage he was supposed to get. And ahead of that time, Laban took them all out of his flock, gave them to his sons, and sent them away 3 days. So they were completely separate. So what does Jacob have to start off with? Nothing that's speckled and spotted and brown. Laban, from the beginning of this deal, is already cheating him severely. So, what happens? Verse 37. It says, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Okay, so what is going on? Well, remember how I started off talking about Rachel and the mandrakes. Okay. Rachel can't have children. Her idea is, well, I'm going to use these mandrakes. I'm going to use this fertility treatment, and I'm going to be able to have children. I'm going to do it my way. And she's not ready to seek the Lord yet. Okay, well, plan ends up backfiring, and Leah ends up having even more children, and she's still got nothing until she finally calls out to the Lord, and he hearkens to her. You actually have something similar here with Jacob. Jacob knows that Laban is cheating him and he's trying to swindle him. So what does Jacob do? He does something very similar. So I did a little bit of research into this. And what I found was that it was kind of a common superstition for shepherds in this time frame that they thought what cattle saw with their eyes had some kind of bearing into what kind of offspring they were going to bear. So if they saw something that was striped, when they conceived, the idea was that they would conceive offspring that would have stripes. So this looks like what Jacob is trying to do here. In other words, he came up with a plan. He knows that Laban is trying to cheat him. So he comes up with a plan to try and even the odds, to try and come out on top here and make up for Laban's cheating him, okay? And that's really what it looks like in this account. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. So it looks like Jacob's little plan worked. He got really blessed. He's got all these cattle, and the thing that he did with the pilling the rods, and you know, with the cattle conceived, and all the stronger cattle ended up with spots and speckles and brown, and he's really making out here. So it looks like his plan worked. Chapter 31. And I wanted to get to this also today because I think it really helps to explain what happened in that passage that I just read. So chapter 31, and it says, "And he, Jacob, heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's, and of that that was our father's, hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. So, what you see is that the countenance of Laban changes toward Jacob. Why? Because his plan backfired. Laban's idea was to cheat Jacob and get him to arrange things so that he would get blessed by Jacob's presence and by Jacob's hard work, and that he'd still cheat Jacob out of getting what should have been rightfully his out of this deal. That was Laban's idea. So Laban is trying to benefit himself and cheat Jacob. And what happens is that Jacob ends up with all the stronger cattle. And all the cattle's bearing ring streaked and speckled and spotted. What's going on here? This was supposed to work to my advantage. Why is Jacob getting blessed over here? It's not working out. And now he's starting to get mad at Jacob. I don't like this guy anymore. My plan isn't working. I try to cheat this guy. It's not working out. And so his sons start to murmur and complain and say, you know what, Jacob, all this stuff that Jacob's got, it used to be our dad's. Jacob's stealing all this stuff from our dad. So that's the rumor going around. But verse 3, again, and the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee.
Amen.
I will be with thee. God really says three main things to Jacob in this passage here. We'll get to the other ones in a few minutes. But Jacob says, he calls his wives and says, I see your father's countenance. It's not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring-straked shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring-straked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So Jacob's given the credit to God here. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't this all Jacob's plan, that he was going to pill the strakes in these rods and set them before the cattle so they conceive, and he gets the stronger cattle and it works out for him? Wasn't that his plan? Yep, that was his plan. But then God appears to him. Verse 10, and it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So Jacob went ahead and concocted this plan, and he's doing all this stuff to try and get the cattle to conceive the right way, kind of like Rachel did with the mandrakes. This is my idea. You know, I'm going to use my wisdom. I'm going to use the latest scientific advancements here and try and make this happen. But then Jacob does that, and then God appears to him and says, you know what? This didn't happen because of you, Jacob. This didn't happen because you did this thing. No, this happened because I saw what happened. I saw what happened. I was looking out for you, Jacob. And that's why Jacob's testimony in this passage is, God didn't suffer him to hurt me. God was looking out for me. And Jacob knew that now, that God was on his side, that God was looking out for him. He made a promise to God. He said, God, if you'll take care of me, you know, and bring me safe to my father's house again, then you'll be my God. And God took him up on that. And God's watching out for him. And God's blessing him. And it's not because of that thing that he just did in the last chapter. Jacob could have not done that, and this would have still happened because God was seeing and God was taking care of him. So again, in this passage here, we saw that God said, return unto the land of thy fathers. Jacob had an idea to return before, and he asked Laban for a send-off, and it just didn't work out. God had him stay there for another 6 years so that this would happen. If he would have left before, he would have gone back empty. Now he's got all this cattle. He's actually provided for his house, like he said. So he says, return unto the land of thy fathers. Now is the time to return. He also said, and I will be with thee. I will be with thee. See, Jacob has some challenges coming up in his life, and he knows it. But through this experience, Jacob also learned, God's looking out for me, and I can trust in him.
That's right.
Okay? And because of that, when he's going to be able to keep this in mind when he goes through the next steps. And that's the way the journey of faith works. It's God has you take a step, and he shows you that he's faithful. And he's not going to make it too difficult for you. He's going to make it something that you can handle. But that you learn to trust him, and you learn to see that he's taking care of you. And then he'll give you the next step so that you have learned that you can trust him, and you're ready for that next step. Because Jacob knows he's going to have to go home, and he's going to have to face his brother. And just here you could see God is having him take a step, and just know that God is with him, and he's going to be with him. So that's I think that's about where we're gonna stop for today. So yeah, I just thank you for being in Sunday school.